Our diver of the week is Crystal L. Thank you so much for supporting Dive Studios.
You're listening to your Tabo podcast.
A podcast.
You are listening to your podcast.
That's to your. You are listening to the Tabo podcast.
Welcome to the Tabo podcast. Is everyone doing better? Hopefully. Hopefully. Let's all stay hopeful. Okay. Today I'm going to talk about K-pop.
Da-da-da-da.
Daebak. Okay. So this is Tableau's K-pop Daebak today.
Whoa.
And here's the thing. I'm not going to just talk about like K-pop as we know it. I'm going to talk about the K-pop that existed before the word K-pop existed. Because many of you, well, not many of you, maybe like four of you.
Sad addendum.
Four to maybe like a good dozen of you were like, hey, can you recommend some like good old school K-pop? And I think this is because like, old school K-pop has become like a big thing in Korea right now. Well, recently, for the last like year or so, right? Like retro. There's like even a word for like neutro or something, like people deliberately buying cassette tapes and stuff like that and like wearing like old school clothes and stuff.
Yeah, in Korea, a lot of the younger people, they started buying film cameras more.
Yeah, and there's this YouTube channel in Korea that has like that uploads like old clips of like 80s and 90s musicians, like their TV appearances. And I don't know how they got all this or like someone had it all recorded or something, but they posted to this site and like this channel on YouTube, and it became like hugely popular. And a lot of the artists that were featured on that channel, became so popular that now they're actually back and actually more popular than they were even like back in the day. So this has become like a thing. And I think a lot of international fans have also been like, you know, trying to get into it. But it's really hard to get into old school K-pop because there's just not much online, right? Obviously. It was a time of like, you know, it was just when like fire was discovered. Yes, I'm going that back. I'm going way back. It was right after the wheel.
It was, it's not so much music, but more like tribal chants.
God said, let there be K-pop. Okay. Okay. Well, I'm kidding, but I'm going to talk about like 90s K-pop.
Yes.
Okay. And 90s K-pop is what I grew up listening to when I was a little kid. So obviously it has a place in my heart. Like I'll hear a song from like the 90s, like Korean music industry, like playing somewhere randomly, and it'll like teleport me back to that time. And I'll be like 12 or something, like running around like, you know,
being bullied.
Diane, it's fine that you were like you said being bullied, but the laugh like right after it, and you're still laughing
because that's most of your childhood stuff.
Here's the thing though.
Yeah.
I actually have a story. Like a true story that that you just reminded me of.
Oh, jeez.
Which involves bullying and K-pop.
Okay.
So when I was growing up in Canada, I think I was like 12, 13. I was at a private school. It was like a very like England-like, like British,
posh.
Like, yeah, like, no, well, not posh, but like very, very hardcore strict.
Oh.
Like with uniforms, yeah. And everything, and like houses, you know, like the housing system.
Mm-hmm. No,
is it the housing?
Yeah, it's
the house system.
Yeah.
Housing system. Okay. And like we had to play rugby. It was like mandatory. Anyways, I went to a private school and we were all in dormitories, right? And we had 12 people to our room at first. 12 people in one room.
Were you K-pop trainees?
No, it was a big room. But halfway through the year, they moved us to a situation… like they moved us to new dormitories where we were four to a room. But right before that, it was 12 to a room in a house that is, you know, that looked like a Harry Potter house.
But with like prepubescent boys.
Well… 12 of us in one room, right?
Yeah.
And here's the thing. At the time, I was into 서태지와 아이들, like Taeji Boys. Their, I think their second album had just come out. And they had a song called Hayoga. I can't play any of these songs off the phone, right? Because our thing will get flagged.
No.
Really?
Yeah, you're like talking about the song.
Well, okay. So there was a… Let me look for it. I don't… Hold on. So, there was a song called Hayoga that was like explosive in Korea because it was very new and rap like was really new at the time. And like just everything about the song was very different. Like they had elements of like traditional Korean music and like rock and rap and like beatboxing. It was a very like explosive song at the time. And let me just play a little bit of it. So it's like… Oh my god. This teleported me back to like…
the dorm?
I was on top of a… like a… like a building and I was like dancing to this. Anyways. So my story is… we were 12 to our room. And obviously we weren't all Asian, right?
Yeah.
I was the only Korean in the room.
Yeah.
And I was playing… like we would all wake up in the morning and the hellish thing about sharing a huge room with 12 people is that everyone wants to play their music. Right? So you all get up and at the time we all had these things called ghetto blasters. Like stereos, right? Like audio systems or whatever. Like these tiny cheap ones.
Yeah.
But everyone will want to play their thing. And the first to wake up usually, you know… gets to do that. Anyways, there was this one kid who was really into Meatloaf.
I know Meatloaf, yeah.
Like, I would do anything for… Okay, this dude… He's a Caucasian dude. And yeah. He was really into this song. Yeah. Not because he's Caucasian, but like he was just pointing out. Yeah. Anyways, he really liked that song. So he would play it all the time. Anyways, I was into Korean music.
Very different vibe.
Yeah, I was into two different types of music at the time. Like American hip hop and Korean music.
Okay? Neither of which is Meatloaf.
Yeah, neither of which is Meatloaf. And other people like that were in the room, you know, some would play like, you know, like alternative rock. But I was, you know, obviously the only person playing K-pop. And at the time, we didn't even have the word K-pop really. So to them, it was just like really foreign music. And I woke up earliest one day and I played this song. And I had hope that people would like it. Anyways, this guy that loved Meatloaf came up and turned it off and said some very, you know… unnecessarily racist things.
Yes.
Right? He can just say like, I don't want to hear it. But unnecessarily racist things. And so did some of the other kids that were in the room. That really…
The irony too of it coming from a guy who loves an artist named…
Meatloaf?
Meatloaf.
I mean, like, you know…
A 50s microwavable dish.
Yo, like, no hate to Meatloaf. But, like, I gotta say that, like, really, you know, killed any chance that I would discover or end up liking Meatloaf.
Uh-huh.
Because I identified Meatloaf with this dude.
Yeah.
Anyways, so a lot of the kids were doing that, and then that, you know, I have like a defiant spirit. So that made me want to do it even more. So every morning I would deliberately wake up earliest, even though I was tired as I would just wake up and I would play a Korean song on purpose. And one day he walked up and then he took the tape. I had a cassette tape at the time because I couldn't afford CDs. But anyways, he would take the tape out and he chucked it out the window. And obviously like a fight broke out. The teachers at the time sided with him. I'm not going to say it's, you know, race related, but that's what it felt like at the time.
Yeah.
And because of those experiences, I became very protective of like Korean music and my Korean-ness. Ironically, while I was outside of Korea, right? And that tends to happen, right? You will see that people that are overseas, like Korean overseas, are more you know, passionate about their Korean-ness because it's constantly being tested. And that made me like fall in love with Korean music more. Of course, at the time, like I couldn't possibly have imagined that I would end up becoming a Korean musician, right? Like a K-pop musician or whatever. But yeah, you just reminded me. I sort of got bullied because of Korean music.
Didn't you meet Sateji when you were like younger?
Yeah. No, not younger.
Oh, but you met it through, obviously, now your career.
Well, so Seotaeji was like my idol at the time. And then I became a musician here, as you all know. And then one day I got a call from Seotaeji and he wanted me to like perform one of his songs at his concert. So I ended up doing that. And then I was invited to like his festival and then invited to meet him to talk about like music and stuff. So that was great. Well, anyways, today I want to talk about like some old school K-pop. Some K-pop from a time where we didn't have the word K-pop so that you guys can like check it out. You know, I'm sure you're up to date with all the contemporary K-pop if you're listening right now because of, you know, Eric Nam. But let me take you back to like my childhood and some of the songs that I loved. And I'm going to just do a top 10.
Okay. But in any particular order? Just or as you think of them?
I have some in my mind, but I think I'm just going to like kind of freestyle it. And this is just like a personal top 10. This is not like a definitive top 10. So don't get at me.
Two cuts.
Okay. You Meatloaf lover. Don't get at me for like, why is this number 4? This should be number 1. Like, don't do that. It's just my personal list, okay? And I'm just going to throw out a top 10. So you guys can check out like the world of awesome music that was there. And let me just add a disclaimer. Some of the songs that I recommend to you today, and like also if you're like, you know, searching old school K-pop on YouTube, some of the songs are going to sound dated. It's going to be like watching Star Wars from the 70s now, you know? Like some of it is going to sound dated and you're going to be like, what? But realize at the time, some of these songs were like groundbreaking and also very new because first of all, the 90s in Seoul and in Korea, a very important time because it was a time of like mega, mega change. And of course on all spheres, but just sticking to like culturally, like it was the first time that like people started like dyeing their hair, like getting piercings, you know, like there was major opposition to just that. Like, you know, if you dyed your hair, like, you know, adults just wouldn't have it, right? Like, there were like news reports about an entertainer getting like a piercing. I'm not kidding. Like
a nose piercing?
Yeah, even getting their, like, even men having their ears pierced was like a big enough issue for it to be like on the news.
Like a debate.
Yeah, and also on like music programs on TV, you weren't allowed to wear certain things, which, you know, if you look at it now, you're like, that? Like, that's like nothing. But that's just the times that we were living in. And also, you couldn't say anything in music. Like you were pretty much banned or like censored just for saying, like, you know, school is a horrible place. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So, but it was also, because of that, it was also the most exciting time because, you know, when, like I was saying, when you're tested, that's when like the most brilliant like changes happen, right? Sometimes for the worse, but, you know, many times for the better, right? And anyways, those were the times. And I was just a little kid, so I actually didn't, like, I was, you know, not really a part of this change in a heavy way. Like, I was just looking at, like, my brother and my sister going through, like, weird, you know, phases. And I'm like, okay. And I was just a kid, so I was just different to begin with.
Yeah. But
anyways, okay, some of the songs that I want to recommend to you. In 10th place of my top 10. I'm sure you know this group, G.O.D.
Yep.
Right? Can you name any G.O.D. songs, Diane? So Diane here hates K-pop.
No!
I'm kidding, dude. I'm kidding.
No.
She loves Meatloaf, though.
My dad liked Meatloaf. Isn't there a song where it's like, Sarang Hetta? No?
I'm sure every K-pop song,
no?
K-pop artist has a song called 사랑해 그리고 기억해?
Yeah, that.
Okay. Well, the song that I want to place at number 10 is… oh, shit.
What?
This was released in 2000.
Sorry, oh, brother.
Damn. All right.
Canceled. Disqualified.
I love G.O.D.'s. There's a song called 길. Like Road. Mm-hmm. And I just love that song. I don't know why, but whenever I hear that song, even now, I feel like I'm like back in a, like at a certain age where like I'm trying to figure out what I'm supposed to do with my life.
You can play and a it's little like, bit of it.
It's like, but I can't because it was released in 2001.
So we're legally not allowed to play
it. We're not allowed to play it in my 90s.
Universe.
This was a song. But it's not from the 90s.
This is a long intro.
Oh, I love this song. This was 2000.
It's a long intro.
Okay, this makes sense. It was released in 2001, which like is probably like when I was like, you know,
21?
No, not 21. I was still in college.
Yeah, you'd be in college at 20, 21.
No, you graduate and then you're 21.
No, not necessarily.
Well, that's what it was for me. I wasn't legally allowed to drink.
Okay.
While I was in college. Anyways, this is not going to be number 10 anymore because it was released in the 2000s. I'm going to stick to the 90s, okay?
Got it.
But it's a great song. G.O.D. obviously, you know, hugely popular group. Anyways, I became friends with some of them eventually because there was a crossover at a certain point. And then I would recommend… Okay, so I have to do a new number 10. Okay. I'm gonna do. DJ DOC. DJ DOC.
Like Doc?
DJ Doc is what some of us called it, but it's supposed to be DJ DOC apparently. They have a song called Pie, which I really like. I think it's one of the first like hip hop songs from like the K-pop industry that I liked, kind of.
Oh.
Okay. Yeah, I really like this song. Anyways, it's like, you know, on a rainy day. I think you have to search for like rainy love if you don't speak Korean, like on YouTube. But it's like, you know, I can't sleep. It's raining. I'm thinking of you. Obviously, Epic High does a lot of like rain related songs because I love rainy days. So I'll put that at 10 because G.O.D. we have to disqualify.
They're too young.
They're too young. Okay. And at number 9 is Seungeun. Seungeun. You know all these songs, right?
길은 알고
있었는데. 아, 몰랐어요? 알겠습니다. Okay.
Okay.
Okay, so at number 9 is this song. This is by a group called 전람회, which means exhibition, and it's a song called Stranger, like a stranger. And this is one of the most beautiful like K-pop songs ever, I think.
It's like a ballad.
It's a ballad, but it's also like a movie score in a way. At the end, like the climax is just amazing. And it's so 전람회 아세요? 김동률.
네, 네, 네.
Okay, so 김동률 is the songwriter, and like he eventually went solo, and you know, one of the biggest artists in Korea. He was actually my first label mate.
I don't know why I thought you were gonna say love.
So he started a label.
Yeah.
With a manager, and that became the label that I released my first album at. So, so I met him at a coffee shop, and like, it was pretty weird, right? Because like, I had been growing up like listening to this guy's music, and all the people on the list today I have met at some point, because eventually, you know, I was blessed enough to, you know, to.
Tabla, are you a celebrity?
Dude, I'm famous. Okay. Anyways, number 8 is this song that I guarantee even Diane will know. Okay.
All right. That I will know?
You know this song.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
H.O.T.?
H.O.T.
Yes, I do Candy. Know this. No. It is? It's called Candy?
Yeah, it's like one of their most famous songs.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I know the song Warrior.
This is at number 8 on Tableau's personal list of top 10 90s K-pop songs. Okay?
Yeah.
And this song, I think, has a great title because like it literally sounds like the title.
Yeah.
Right? It sounds very like very happy, very sweet.
High energy.
Yeah, high energy. And I actually talk about this on that whole like Netflix K-pop explained thing, the box explain thing. And like even like the fashion at the time, like they wore these like really colorful like fluffy gloves and stuff that might look ridiculous to you now, but at the time it became so popular that you go like skiing and people would have like dressed like them. It was anyways.
Like you, did you have gloves?
At some point, I think I think some girl had it and like I was like, she's like, yo, put these on, and I put them on. And I also did the dance and stuff.
This girl was actually the girl at the store that says, you wanted these gloves to try on? And you said,
I paid this girl. And she gave me the gloves
that I purchased for me.
I did not buy them. I gave this girl some money and she gave me the gloves.
And then for some reason she said, okay, here's the thing you asked me to get you.
And she also gave gloves to the person behind me. Who also paid the same amount.
She only had these gloves as well.
All right, number seven. Diane, since you don't know anything about K-pop or old school K-pop, I want you to keep these in mind so that, you know, you can listen too.
When I meet my soulmate, I'll be able to relate to them.
Yeah. Okay, here's number seven on Tableau's Top 10 90s K-pop songs.
Okay.
Seungun, what song is this? 무슨 노래예요? Okay, you don't know. Okay. Okay, I'm gonna skip ahead.
For those who aren't watching,
okay,
Paolo just did some choreography.
This is Deuce, and the song is called 여름 안에서, so in summer.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you search it on YouTube, you can find a video. So this was like the summer song for like ages. Like there are certain songs in like 90s K-pop that are still played like crazy during summer, and this is one of those songs. And so it was a member, it was a two member group, like it was a duo, one producer and rapper singer, and one rapper singer, and the two of them like are literally still probably like the greatest, some of the greatest dancers like in the history of K-pop probably. So but one of the members met a very unfortunate, he passed away in a very unfortunate and also very mysterious set of
circumstances.
Yeah. And just very questionable.
Huh.
And it, at the time, it like not only broke my heart, but it broke up. Like, it broke the hearts of a lot of people.
Because it was sudden, probably.
Yeah, and also this group played a very important part in, like… I think anybody that was, like, growing up that was into, like, hip-hop at a time when, like, no one really got hip-hop.
Yeah.
Or, like, hip-hop was not… like something that was like mainstream. I think like their fashion and also like just their attitude and also the sound of the music. This is one of their more like feel good kind of songs, but they also have songs that are like very energetic, like very hip hop, attitude. And I think I think a lot of hip-hop artists around my age in Korea I don't think there's anyone that hasn't been affected by this group in one way or another. Oh, I don't know if you've ever seen that commercial that's been like on TV in the last like recent like year or so. You know
in
that
Korea?
Grandeur? You know the car? The Hyundai car?
Yeah.
Grandeur?
Yeah.
Have you seen the commercial where it's like it they did it so that it looks like it was shot on like a 90s camcorder? They're at a railroad.
I haven't watched a commercial in a very long time.
Well, there's this really popular commercial, like because it was shot really well. And it's for like a Hyundai car. And it's like set in the 90s and it's shot as if they're shooting it on like, you know, self camera on like a 90s camcorder. And they're like, what do you want to do when you like grow up and make it? Like, I want to drive a Grandeur, right? And the Hyundai Grandeur, it was this car that in the 90s was like the symbol of, it was like a status symbol. And anyways, the guys that are in the commercial are dressed like, you know, Deuce.
Oh.
And also their song comes out. Like you see one of the kids listening to it on a CD player. Anyways, that's actually what it was like. Like a lot of people took their fashion cues from this group. So anyways, that's number 7. At number 6 on Tableau's personal top 10 90s K-pop songs is a song that I don't think anybody else would put in their top 10. I'm not sure. But I really like this song. It's called 안녕하세요 by Beepy Band. And this song was like the closest thing we had to like punk.
Ooh.
Right?
Like you got me
a
there.
Punk sensibility.
Yeah.
This song is not going to sound like that to you. But at the time, it was like…
Like punk or like pop punk?
Like pop punk. But you know, that was the only punk we really had.
Yeah.
And I immediately recognized like it's sort of like punk aesthetic and also like tongue-in-cheek kind of aesthetic at the time. And I was like, oh, this is really cool. And it was really popular. Here's the song. Oh, this is a live clip. If you search… Okay, unfortunately, Beep Beep Band, if you search it in English, it's PP Band. Unfortunately. P-I-P-I Band.
But it's Piet?
Like Beep Beep Band.
Yeah.
Right? You know, like pagers were called Beep Beep at the time?
Yeah.
Anyways, this song, I'm just going to play it off Melon. Hold on. Okay.
Female?
Yeah.
It's
a…
I thought it was kids for a second.
Here's the thing. This song, I feel like if like… For example, if like… if it was like in Kill Bill, I think it would have been, you know, popular all over again, like all over the world. Like this is… At the time when I heard this song, I was like, oh my God, this song like has so much like international appeal. Because it's also called like 안녕하세요.
Yeah.
Right? And yeah, I really like this song. Like the lyrics are like, my dog goes bow wow wow. The next door neighbor's dog goes bow wow wow.
Hell yeah.
You know, lyrics like this, I just… It's you know, at the time it was very… at the time, like 90s songs, like even like the really like hyper techno songs that are like happy and stuff. Even those lyrics were like really deep. Like, check out the lyrics, like the translation for like any songs from the 90s, like K-pop. Like, some of them sound like straight up like serious ass poems.
Oh.
Like, and also like the heartbreaking songs are like, you know, just like literally like taking it to like depths of like hell.
Yeah.
Okay. And like, so when this song came out, I was like, I loved how like the lyrics were so simple.
Yeah.
And how it was like poking fun at like just everything that was going on.
Yeah.
So I really like this song.
Yeah. It's like sarcastic the way punk is.
Yes. Okay. And number five is this song. Hold on. Yo, Seungun. 안녕하세요. 아세요?
처음에.
안녕하세요. Oh, oh. I mean, the melody. I mean. Na, na,
na, na, the guitar na, is definitely, na, na, na. Yeah, familiar.
Yeah. So this next song is this. This song, someone might know because it's like a really popular ballad, even now. If you notice, songs from the 90s had really long intros.
Yeah.
Because people had the attention span to wait.
That was a pointed remark, Evie.
So this is Lee Sora, Nan Hengbokhae, which would translate to I'm happy.
Yeah.
Obviously, the song doesn't sound happy. It's a very beautiful song. And I think Lee Sora is probably like one of, if not the best vocalists, like slash lyricist slash musician like in Korea ever. I don't think she can be topped at all. Some people are listening right now and they're like, oh, Lee Sora, of course I know. Because recently I wrote a song for her and it featured Suga from BTS.
Mm.
And that song called Song Request was a humongous hit last year. So some of you are probably like familiar with her because of that song. But if that's the case, you have to check out the rest of her catalog. So I was a huge fan of her music when I was growing up. And strangely enough, again, I became a musician. And when I went through like this period of time of living hell.
yes.
Yeah, just Google it. Anyways, when I was going through that, I released my first and only solo album called Fever's End, 열꽃. And the first track off the album is called Jip, which is home, and it features Lee Sora. So that was a huge moment for me because I got to work with like someone that like I was a huge, you know, fan of. And it was amazing working with her. So eventually, because of that, I, you know, wanted to reciprocate. And I wrote the song request. It's called Song Request. 신청곡. Okay, Song Request. I wrote that for her last year or 2 years ago. Anyways, her whole catalog is amazing. So check that out. That's number five. And now number four is a song by Panic. A group called Panic, which is funny that you said that because I just searched Panic at the on Melon.
Yeah.
On the Korean music site. And the first thing that pops up is Panic at the Disco.
Is it High Hopes?
Like it literally popped up the minute you said at the disco. Okay, Panic. So this song is called 내 낡은 서랍 속의 바다, which translates into The sea like the C within my drawer, but I think on YouTube you have to search the C in my worn drawer, which is like a horrible literal translation. But it's like the C within like my old, like, you know, like a cupboard or something, right?
Yeah.
And
like a keepsake or like a keep, like a,
yeah, the C is literally in my, like, you know, in like a drawer.
But in terms of like memory?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I guess. but this song is very beautiful. And actually, at one point, I've never done a remake song. I don't think I've ever done a remake song because, you know, I prefer to just write original songs.
Oh, like but remixes?
Remake.
Remake.
Like remaking a song. But this is one song that I kind of wanted to remake. So I actually talked to the songwriter, the one of the members of this band to possibly remake it like as an Epic High song. But eventually I ended up not doing it. But yeah, I really like the song. A lot of the songs I like start with wind or rain or water.
Because you like cinema.
Yeah, maybe. This is one of the best piano riffs like ever. Anyways, check out this song. This is at number 4. And if you are like listening to the songs that I'm like recommending right now or putting in the top 10, like with the exception of maybe like Candy, you might notice like that I like a certain type of sound. And some of you might, you know, think to yourselves, I can hear like the influence in what eventually became Epic High's music, right? Because I grew up listening to this kind of, like these kinds of songs, right? And here's what I would say to that. I think it's less that I was influenced by what I listened to when I was growing up. And that's why Epic High's music sounds the way it does. I think we're all like unique, obviously. And I have a certain taste and aesthetic that you know comes out through Epic High's music, and I had that same taste and aesthetic when I was a kid. So I was drawn to songs, certain types of, you know, sounds and certain types of riffs or chords or songs, you know, and that's why, you know, these songs are in my top 10. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think that one you just played, I'm the most intrigued by because that piano riff is a lot deeper. It's like a bass. It's like a, because I feel like a lot of Korean, especially like ballads, they tend to stay in like the higher octaves. So that's that really like high, yeah, crystal-y sound. But I really like deep sounds like that. So I'm intrigued by it more.
Yeah, a lot of like the music I make, if I do like a piano riff kind of thing, has this kind of cinematic vibe too. So, okay, number 3 is this song. It's this song. It's called "내 눈물 모아" by an artist named Seo Ji-won, and in English it would be "Gather My Tears." So you guys can like check it on YouTube. This was one of my favorite songs growing up, but it's also a very heartbreaking song because the artist that sings this song passed away right before it was released. And you know, it was a suicide. And it was a huge shock because this guy was a new artist, and he was like an up and coming, and he was getting really popular. And his next album, which you know was led by this song, would have totally elevated him. And anyways, he passed away. And then this song came out, and the song is called "Gather My Tears," and you know the lyrics talk about sending like a letter, you know, from heaven and stuff, from the skies. And it's a very beautiful song. Number two is, as I mentioned, the group that got me kind of bullied, Teji Boys. They were a huge group, so they obviously have a lot of songs that were huge, but this is actually probably my favorite song by them, and it's off their first album, so it's like a really, really, really old song. It's called "이제는," which means now. I just love this song because it's so damn simple. Again, a very long intro because in the 90s,
people
had the attention span to wait. Anyways, this is probably one of their like most simple songs, and it's not even like one of their most popular songs. But I just this came out when I was like seriously like a little kid, and you know, everyone was really into their more popular singles on this album, but something about this song, it's like number seven. And just something about this song like really affected me even when I was a kid. So I still kind of like these very simple, minimal songs that that are very, you know, stripped down and just conveying like a very simple human emotion. You know, like longing or missing someone, mm-hmm. or like heartbreak because you got dumped or something. You know what Jesus. I mean? Like, anyways, I really like this song.
I don't even want to say inside joke because that would be bullying too. That sounded, the instrumental honestly sounded like something I would hear on like indie Spotify.
Yeah, so this was like in 92.
Yeah.
So this was
but
like…
But I also think it's not just like… It's that it sounds like something modern, but that modern music lately is now mirroring a lot of things, like yeah. sounds from the 90s.
Possibly. Yeah. Possibly. Okay, this last song is number one. On Tableau's personal list of personal top 10 K-pop songs from a time where we didn't even have the word K-pop. So 90s K-pop songs. This is number one. Okay, I'm going to play it first. This is absolutely probably my favorite Korean song of like all time. Here we go. So it's this song. It's called "일상으로의 초대," which is which should translate to like an invitation to like my normal life. But I think on YouTube you have to search "an invitation to daily life." It's by an artist named Shin Hye-chul, who is like a who is one of the most legendary like Korean artists. Also, someone that I was very blessed to be able to meet and like. You know, have a drink with and, you know, talk to about various different things. Unfortunately, he passed away like way too early because of a medical accident that should not have happened. That was just, it's just, I don't know the like intricate details of it, but it's just like a heartbreaking thing that happened. This song, this album was like when, so he did like rock music, but for this album, he was doing like electronica. And, when this song came out, like I just loved how like, even without using a traditional instrument like a piano or like strings, which, you know, is really the instruments to go to if you want to like pull on the heartstrings, right? But to be using like electronic sounds to do something that like totally gets to your soul is, at the time when I heard it, I was like, I didn't even know this was possible. So it's a great song. Lyrically, it's amazing too, because it's just like, I want to just take a walk with you, like just sit and read a book, like have a glass of tea, and all these mundane things, right? Like these ordinary mundane things. And at the end, he's, you know, on the hook, he's like, I want you to come and like, I got nothing to offer you, but I want you to come and share these things with me. Right? Which is, you know, like growing up as a kid, you imagine, because you don't understand what love is, you've never been in it, really. And you see these movies and like, you read the great books about love and stuff. And you're like, love is this incredibly, you know, enormous thing. Like, it's like a monumental thing that you can't really place into your hands easily. And this was a song where like I was like, you know, love can be this very plain, like ordinary thing, and that it's no less beautiful for it, right? And that proved to be true. Like, I heard this song when I was, you know, like a kid, and I was like, that's a very different way to, you know, that's a very down to earth proposal.
Mm.
You know, like just come and read some books with me and just, you know.
Like not, it doesn't have to be these like huge grand
gestures. Yeah, it's not like this grandiose, like.
Yeah. Which comes like, across as more genuine.
Yeah, and it felt very genuine to me. And then I grew up And then, you know, I got married. And then I had a kid. And even to this day, like, my wife also really likes this song. So we'll play it on, like, our drives and stuff. And I'll be listening to the lyrics and I'm like, he was totally right. Like, this song is totally right. Because the most beautiful moments that I have with my family are the very mundane and ordinary moments. And I will not give these up for anything that might seem extraordinary to some, you know, other eyes. Mm-hmm. Anyways, this was my top 10 90s K-pop, like old school K-pop songs for you guys to check out. You can search them on YouTube. Feel free to ask Diane or the account to post up these songs.
Oh, okay. like
Do not search for old school Epic High songs though. Okay? Just listen to the audio. You don't have to look for videos and shit.
Oh, no.
All right?
Just stay away. It's part of the art.
Okay? Stay away.
It's a whole experience.
Can you believe that October of this year, it'll be our 17th year as Epic High? 17 years.
Your band can almost vote.
Yeah.
Whoa.
17. Okay? Like, this is like when, like, you don't even listen to your parents anymore. Like, you don't give a shit about anyone.
I mean, I think your band has approached that stage.
Yeah. We are 17. Oh, my God. The thing is, we're like a 2000s artist. We started in 2003. So, we never, like, were, you know, we weren't able to be around like when these 90s artists were like doing their thing. And but luckily when we started, it was early enough that we were able to meet pretty much anybody that, you know, I grew up listening to or I idolized. I was able to meet. And many of them were very many of them really, you know, really liked us. So they would tell us things, or like, you know, even just telling us stories about things that went on in the past, and just, you know, taught us a lot, I guess. I just realized that someday, like, someone's gonna, like, do an episode about, like…
Throwback,
like, old school Epic High songs.
You kind of already did.
Yeah. And, yeah, I did it myself. But, you know, like, there already are artists that talk about, like, growing up listening to Epic High. Even though we're still around. Hopefully, like, 10 years later or 20 years later… So I'm talking about music from like 1992. So that's like how long ago? That's like 28 years, 30 years ago, right?
Yeah.
So maybe like 10, 15 years later, if someone's talking about my music at that time, hopefully, you know, I'll still be around, you know? Like, even if I'm not doing music anymore.
Yeah, but just like vibing.
I just hope I'm well.
Yeah.
Because I wish all the artists that I talked about today were still around. Mm. You know what I mean?
And thriving.
Yeah. Anyways, thank you for joining me today. Hopefully you got something that you needed from me. I'll see you next week.